AAT Bird's weekly report is the Eagle News, notes, and analysis you need.
Fires for the end zone. Intercepted. 30, the 20, the 10, the 5. Touchdown. Matt Ware. Matt Ware.
He stepped up. He's hit and falls forward. And he fumbles the football and the Eagles have it.
It's gone. And the Eagles win.
It's all birds. All the time.
And welcome to another edition of the AAT Birds Weekly Report. And I myself, Johnny Uleka, is joined, as always, by Chip at Chip for the Birds. We're going to break down the Eagles clipping the fins. Not really clipping because they kind of beat them.
Can we say it with a little more gusto? Like the fact that the Eagles are the team with the best record in football. Can we say it that way?
We can. Eagles have the best record in football.
The Eagles have the best record in football.
Yeah. Tied with
nobody.
Well, the Kansas City Chiefs are also 6-1. So
yeah,
you have to at least put them in there.
All right, but we got the best record in football. So
the Eagles took a high powered offense and they basically physically made them kind of cripple a little bit. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the Eagles adding a Pro Bowl level safety to the mix. Great job by Howie. We'll get in that. And we'll get on to the Washington Commanders game coming up on Sunday in Washington. But I'm going to start off here, Chip. I want your thoughts. Now, you thought the Eagles were going to lose this.
I did.
So I want to get your thoughts on it first. I'll give you mine. You had the Eagles losing 31-21. Eagles, of course, won the game 31-17. What are your thoughts?
I mean, here's the thing. I reluctantly picked the team with just an absolutely stupid high-powered offense because while the Eagles had, you know, a good record, they were facing a lot of injuries in the secondary and they needed everybody to step up and they needed to create pressure on Tua and they needed to stop the run and they needed to do X, Y, and Z. And they did literally all those things. Yeah. They did everything that they had to do in order to be successful. A lot of the times, I mean, again, not to bring in other sports, but you know, you look at like the Phillies right now, the Phillies were supposed to do certain things and they didn't, and their season is over. It's very rare that game plans go exactly according to plans, especially when it comes to the Philadelphia Eagles, because what usually happens is something somewhere goes wrong.
But no, I think the big thing with it is when you bringing up that with the game plan aspect, and the big thing about it is Sean Desai, it goes into the game. He did some different things that he didn't do this. You know,
yep.
It's something that we haven't seen in a long time. He adjusts. We've seen him adjust after halftime. We've seen him do certain things. He mentioned physicality will be able to beat speed if you're physical with them, basically. And I saw earlier this week, I think it was yesterday, Rex Ryan talking about physicality will always beat a finesse team. I always want a physical team than a finesse team.
Sure.
And it makes a lot of sense there. When you have a team that punches you in the mouth, you're going to have to fight back, and the Dolphins weren't able to fight back. And, of course, you see it all on Twitter. You see the X or whatever people want to call it now. You see the Miami Dolphins sports writers complaining about penalties and complaining about whatever it may be. You see the fans complaining, and you have all this, we were injured, our offensive line was hurt. You have all this. The Eagles had a secondary of, one player no longer is a part of that secondary, but you were out Reed Blankenship. You had Sidney Brown playing in his first game in 3 weeks. You had Terrell Edmonds playing back there, trying to play back there. Not sure if you can call it playing. He was struggling big time.
Yeah, he was struggling so bad he somehow ended up in Tennessee.
Yeah, and we will get into that next segment. But, you know, when I looked at this game and you took a look at the way the Eagles, you know, A.J. Brown, again, another 125-yard game.
Love it.
It is his fifth 100-yard, 125-yard game. The first time in Eagles history that someone's gone 125 for five games. Of course, he's tied with Calvin Johnson. But the fifth 100-yard game, which is tied with Terrell Owens, who had that in 2004, which we remember that spectacular season and the Eagles offense and everything along the lines of that. I did also see the Good Morning Football give him a nickname, and I think it's a pretty good one, Megajohn.
Megajohn. Love that.
You know, they have Megatron, but he's Megajohn. So I thought that was pretty clever by them. Something that maybe, you know, we may see it happen. So the Eagles also, another key stat, the Eagles are 6-0 when they run the tush push or brotherly shove.
Brotherly shove. I mean, if everyone's going to hate on it, let's take it for what it is.
Yeah, the brotherly shove. But no, I just looking at the Eagles, the aspect of what they did defensively and what they did offensively, I just feel like, you know, the Kelly Green was an awesome, awesome thing to see. I thought it looked magnificent on the field. They played magnificent in it, but I'm going to talk about offensive side of the ball. I want to talk about the defensive side of the ball and the way that they, you know, crashed. Anytime the guy got the ball in space, you saw 3-4 defenders starting to get at him, especially with a patched up secondary with all the injuries that they had and the Jordan Davises and the Jalen Carter. Jalen Carter's first rep, you know, the guy wound up ended up on IR out of the game. He's on IR.
Sorry about y'all.
He's an absolute menace. And you also have to give it up to Hassan Reddick. Playing the run really well. And that's one thing that teams are going to want to try to do is try to run at him. But he showed you, hey, I can do that. And of course, Josh Sweat is a player who is so underappreciated around league circles. We as fans know what he is, know what he can do. But I just think everyone else gets a little bit the Fletcher Coxes, the Hassan Reddick, Brandon Graham. You have Jalen Carter, all these guys, and then Josh Sweat kind of gets a little bit on the back burner. But hey, he's had a heck of a game. Also, you had Nolan Smith get his first career sack. And then something Chris Collinsworth mentioned about him not fully healthy, which how big of a shoulder injury did he have in preseason? Because remember that preseason game where he went out making a play in his shoulder. And I'm sorry, but I think it's time that Nolan Smith gets Derek Barnett snaps on that.
You know, well, I'm going to be very honest. I think as far as that goes, I can see Derek Barnett being moved for an additional trade in the next week or so.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah, I can absolutely see that.
You know, he's again, and nothing against Derek Barnett. When he's on, he is a pretty solid player. But the fact of the matter is that that's a position that we don't necessarily need him for this season. And he's replaceable moving forward. And I think that you can get more value for his position right now if you trade him. Yes, I can understand the frustration with, you know, it's very rare that you play a penalty-free perfect game. So I can understand that ratio, but the Eagles have been in that situation before too, where it's 10-0. And technically they did throw a flag on the Eagles that was an offsetting penalty, so therefore it doesn't count against us, I guess. You know, you can't win it. Like, Tua got hit 4 times. They were 4 of 11 on third down. They were 0 of 2 on fourth down. They had 20 less plays. They allowed 4 sacks. They only got 12 first downs all night, and they held the ball for a total of 23 minutes. So I don't know what exactly the Dolphins. The penalties are one aspect of it. The Kelly Green was one aspect of it, but they didn't play their best game. And we have seen that happen with teams in the NFL. They just didn't play their best game. And that's gotta be part of the storyline. They didn't play their best game. Jalen Waddle went out with an injury that made it a little bit easier to deal with situations where, you know, he could barely walk. So that made it a little bit easier to deal with that. They didn't have their top running back of the season. That's got to be talked about too. The Eagles push through because that's what really good teams do. they finally did not play down to the level of their, I mean, I guess they played above the level of their opponent, but usually what we see with the Eagles is, you know, that's my concern for this weekend is the Commanders aren't as good of a team, so they're going to play down that way. But it also showed me that the Eagles were clearly looking past the Jets to this Dolphins game. Absolute clearly, because those are two different teams. Two different teams.
No, I think you're right. And I don't know. What do you think about offensively, watching the Eagles offense and watching Jalen Hurts and everything that they did offensively?
I think the turnovers are still a concern. As the season gets later, that's got to get cleaned up. I think the offensive line is absolutely dominant. And you saw the difference that Lane Johnson makes. Lane Johnson makes an absolute difference on the offensive side of the ball. I think that they actually committed a little bit to the rushing game and more than just Jalen Hurts. You know, Jalen Hurts ends up rushing for a grand total of 21 yards. Now, he ran 11 times, but they reused DeAndre Swift. They used Kenny Gainwell in situations where they probably shouldn't. They didn't allow Jalen Hurts to pass the ball 40-some times. They were very effective. So the dropdowns to Dallas Goedert were open. They utilized Devontae Smith. They utilized DeAndre Swift. Or Devontae Smith and DeAndre Swift. They even used Julio Jones, who didn't – it's funny, if you go back and you listen to some of the audio, Jalen Hurts doesn't even realize that he was throwing to A.J. Brown in one play because it looks so much like Julio Jones. And then A.J. Brown has just been absolutely dominant. Whereas the Dolphins had very similar numbers in the passing game. So Hurts was 23 of 31. Tua was 23 for 32. The difference was Jalen Hurts threw two touchdowns, and they really could not get the run game working. Mostert was held to 45 yards, and Tyreek Hill was held under 100. So again, when all is said and done, it really says a lot to me that the Eagles were able to do what they needed to do. And they played mistake-free football as far as the penalty game. I do need to see Jalen Hurts cleaning up the turnovers. I think that that's pretty important. I would like to see, as it gets colder, and you know, Adam's talking about it here, the Dolphins fans were crying about penalties and the tush-push. I would like to see them start to move away a little bit from the tush-push. But again, they can't stop it. And we saw the 49ers, you know, there's a viral clip going around where, you know, Brock Purdy's probably going to miss this week's game. He's going into concussion protocol because of a quarterback sneak, a legitimate quarterback sneak, where at the end you see Christian McCaffrey go ahead and push him. That's not what the tush push is. The reason why the tush push works is because you're low. You've got an exceptionally strong quarterback driving his 600-pound squatting legs. You've got an offensive line that's getting much, much lower. And then you're adding the pushing. I mean, basically, the one play was like crowd surfing. So, I mean, that's not what the 49ers said. That's not what the other teams do. Javier checking in saying, we made the Dolphins one-dimensional, giving us the advantage of concentrating on one aspect of the game. And Javier, the one aspect of the game was their passing game, which is the one thing that was very concerning to me. But everybody stepped up. Everybody stepped up and did a job. And I think that that's really important. You know, you're starting to see Dallas Goedert kind of checking in a little bit. You're starting to see just the supreme excellence of A.J. Brown. And you don't need Devontae Smith to have a huge game. You don't need DeAndre Swift to rush for 150 yards. Johnny, the one thing I'm kind of getting over is I would like to stop seeing Kenny Gainwell in the red zone. Our red zone offense has definitely been a struggle. And Kenny Gainwell is not a red zone back.
No.
A red zone power back.
No, he's not. And honestly, if you're going to put a different back in the red zone, I'd rather see Boston Scott. I know he's smaller, but he always seems to find those extra yards, fall forward.
He literally finds the holes.
Yeah, I think he's the guy that if you want to spell DeAndre Swift, I think he deserves more. I get it. Kenny Gainwell's good against pass blocking. I understand that. And he's pretty good out of the backfield catching the ball. But I don't know. He's not explosive. He's not going to break one deep. He's just that he'll get 3-4 yards. He'll power. He'll grind it out. It's the type of back he is. He's not a flashy home run hitting type of running back that Swift or even Boston Scott can be. So for me, it's just, I would like to see a little bit less. I know he only had eight carries, but I would like to see Boston used a lot more, like more his carries, just because I think he gives you a lot more with this offense and everything. And, you know, I don't know. I just, the Eagles offensively, yeah, you want to see Devontae get more catches, get more play. But of course, listen, you know,
I think here's my thing. I think
you can't give everybody everything. That's the problem. Someone's going to be missed. Like in the season, what was it? It was Dallas Goedert not really getting anything. And then you have AJ wasn't really, you know, the second game of the year, all of a sudden he goes off. And then you have Dallas giving you 70 to 80 yards a game for the last couple games. And then, yeah, Devontae, okay, had four catches, 49 yards. It's not great, but do you want to see a little bit more? Okay, maybe. But, you know, Jalen's on pace for 4,200 passing yards. It's not like he's on pace for only 3,000 passing yards. He's on pace for a lot more than he had last year. And, you know, for me, it's just
And teams are playing him differently. You know, teams are actually forcing him to pass a little bit. And because of that, I mean, he's not the most skilled, accomplished passer. He's not always going to read the right reads, and that's okay. Because again, we controlled the ball for 20 more minutes or 20 more plays. And hold on. It was and an additional 15 minutes of holding the ball than they had. So I mean, when you do that, you're gonna be able to grind it out a little bit. I think that my concern. So when I was in the cover band world and singing songs, I would always say, like, I was one of two or three singers in the band. Some nights when you walked into the room, it was going to be my night because you walked in and you saw that people wanted to dance. So all the dance songs that I sang were great. Some nights you walk into a room and it was going to be the hard rock stuff. That's not my night. And I need to take a step back and let those other guys do their job. Some nights it was going to be the emo pop songs, you know, the songs with feelings. So you have a guy that does that. Some nights it's going to be the country. Like it's, this Eagles offense can hit you in so many different ways.
Yeah.
And as long as everybody keeps their ego about them and doesn't go, oh, well, I should have had X number more catches. Dallas Goedert literally put up a goose egg in a game. And yeah, didn't say squat. Why? Because they got the win.
I think he had, what, 30 yards in the first four or five games?
Like combined, right?
He didn't have much of anything the first handful of games this season. But listen, it's all about coming away with the win. That's the big part that we want to see. And
Javier, I can make you a Songs with Feelings playlist. Trust me. Also, the new thing that I'm into is pop punk reggae. So they take your favorite pop punk songs and add like a reggae feel. So I got you, Javier. We'll talk offline.
But, you know, it was fun to see the Eagles go up against a high-flying team like the Miami Dolphins and get that win because, like we've mentioned, this stretch of games coming up, it's a lot of tough teams that you're going to need to, you know, bring your top game because you can't, you know, the Eagles did turn the ball over twice. They have to keep getting that right. They have to get that rectified. Now, unfortunately, the one deflected right in the hands of the guy who went for the touchdown. Okay.
It was an ugly play.
Yeah. And then there's been a few of those, unfortunately, but you gotta start hopefully dialing back and not getting those, especially when you're playing the better teams.
How much do you attribute to, because you usually have a pretty optimistic view of things, how much do you view this increase in turnovers to defense is kind of keying in on Jalen Hurts a little bit and him still trying to comprehend the Brian Johnson offense?
I think a lot of it has to do with, I think it's a little bit of bad luck.
I mean, that's a great point too. Some of it is absolutely bad luck.
You have at least three or four really bad luck, unfortunately, but that always seems to kind of even itself out when you go towards the season. It isn't like he's absolutely terrible. There's been two that I can count, like a couple interceptions he's had this year. Absolute amazing plays by the defender getting his feet in bounds. You know, the Tampa game and the Minnesota game. And there's been a couple, but there's been a couple really horrendous. Two that I can think of right off the top of my head. One is the Jets game, of course, the third interception.
Yeah, that was unexcusable.
Yeah, third interception. And the other one was the Tampa Bay, right to, I believe it was Devin White, right in his arms, because the receiver, I think, ran the wrong route, but he still threw it right to the defender. So those two are
And again, terrible. Over the course of a season,
you're going to have that. Though.
That's going to happen. I'm not throwing up the panic flag. I think Jalen Hurts is playing really well. Now, is he playing on the same MVP caliber level that he was last year? No, I don't think so. But I don't necessarily need an MVP trophy as long as we're hosting a Lombardi trophy. And exactly. I think Jalen Hurts will tell you the exact same thing.
Yeah. Like I said, does not matter what the hell the MVP, like any award, season awards, the only award we want to see is the Super Bowl trophy. But hey, the Eagles had a hell of a performance. They got the win. They're 6-1. And they made some news after the game. They acquired Tennessee Titans safety, former All-Pro, a Pro Bowler, Kevin Byard. Last 2 years was one of the top covered safeties, rated by, I think, PFF, I believe. They traded a fifth and a sixth round pick. The funny thing is the fifth round pick is going to be either Minnesota's or Tampa's, whatever is lower. And then the sixth round pick is going to be either the Eagles or Tennessee's own one that they traded to us last year. And then also Terrell Edmonds goes to Tennessee. Tennessee just needs some safety help because
I saw something that said Tennessee is now the Eagles farm system. And that made me giggle.
Well, they did also claim Kevon Wallace today, who was released, which I kind of hoped he would come back here.
I didn't want him back here. I think that he kind of reached his plateau here. So let him find success elsewhere. And he found success in Arizona. So I was actually surprised by the cut a little bit. I thought he was having a decent year.
Yeah. To me, it's just the Eagles were able to get Kevin Byard. They have Reed Blankenship. Now Reed's been kind of banged up. They have Sidney Brown. Other than that, there isn't much depth. So maybe they get another guy in here to be able to plug at the number four just as depth. Because, listen, injuries happen. We know that. So I am curious to kind of see what they do. And I know Adam here asking, you think Howie will make any more moves before the deadline? Not sure. Maybe the moves he makes is shipping guys out, getting a couple later round draft picks, or maybe a player for a player swap or something along the lines of that. I really don't think there's going to be any big splash moves. I know I saw people, you know, Sports Illustrated now put a little mock trade with Patrick Sertan II. I just don't see that. Would I love to see that? Of course.
Me too, but I think that's actually overcorrecting the problem. At some point, you have to trust the younger guys in-house.
It's a lot to give up. It's something. Yeah, I know Harry really liked him before the draft, and of course Denver jumped up and got him. But I definitely could see them going after another player, like a middle to lower level type of guy, like a depth type of piece to have. Uh-huh. But otherwise, I think they're done in terms of big splash moves.
I could see them adding another offensive lineman. Just because, you know, as the season wears on, that you start to see players break down. I could see players like Rashad Penny getting shipped out. I could see players, as we mentioned, Derek Barnett getting shipped out. I could see some of these guys being shipped away. But like you're not going to get a huge value return for these guys. So I think that we're mostly done. I think this was the big splash move.
And hey, it was a hell of a move. It's a great move. To have him on your roster – a veteran, he's 30 years old. He's very durable. He knows he's a playmaker. Yeah, he may have lost a step, but still he is 100 times better than what you had on the field on Sunday night in Terrell Edmonds.
Who, by the way, was our leading tackler.
Yeah, I know. But hey, they're able to get a guy like Kevin Byard, and I am so happy. He is from Philly as well. He moved, I guess, to Georgia, I think, when he was 14. He moved out of the state when he was 14, but he's from this area. I guess his family are big Eagles fans, so he gets to kind of come back home. He played with A.J. Brown, so there's familiarity there. And listen, Howie just knows when to strike. He sees something. Yeah, he sees something, and he says, okay, let's get this done. I got to improve the team. He's always looking to improve the team. And listen, I can't put it off to say, oh, he's not going to do anything else. You just don't know when he's going to strike. Anything can happen. But it's definitely really good looking to see kind of what this team looks like right now, at least. And also the good news here, looking at the injury report, Reed Blankenship was full practice, full participant, which is great because looks like you're going to have the Middle Tennessee boys, Middle Tennessee State boys, the Kevin Byard and Reed Blankenship, and then you'll have Sidney Brown. So it's a good trio there in the backfield for safety. Now, Bradley Roby did not practice, so I'm thinking he may miss another game. Again, Eli Ricks had a pretty good game playing in the slot there. They had Josiah Scott. Josiah Scott was in there as well. So there are options there. And of course you have Slay and Bradbury on the outside as always, but you know, it's nice that they're starting to get a little bit healthier. And I think it's next week they can activate Cam Jurgens. So hopefully that is.
I just mentioned that could be the help that they need as far as, you know, the offensive line help.
Yeah. No, you're right. You know, getting Cam Jurgens back because the run game seems to be a little bit different without him. I know the stats they showed, the yards per carry were pretty decent number less without him and Sua Opeta in there. Sua Opeta has struggled the last two games, pretty big. He allowed six pressures on Sunday. His run blocking isn't always the best, but listen, it's what happens when you have a backup. He is a serviceable player. He's not a pro bowler. He's not an all pro. You're not going to get that out of him.
He was the backup.
He is the backup, but getting Cam Jurgens back will be good. Like I said, I don't also know about Justin Evans. He has two more weeks, I believe, whether he can be activated, because that may be your safety depth. If you don't get anybody else, it could be Justin Evans coming up and be able to play special teams and play a rotational role in the back there, or just in case somebody gets hurt or anything along the lines of that. But looking at this game against the Commanders have struggled since the Eagles game. It seemed like they gave absolutely everything during that Eagles game, and then they just kind of wilted a little bit because they lost to the Bears. They got beaten up big time by the Bears. They put some points up late to make it look a lot closer than it was. And they just also, last week, they just lost to the New York Giants, the Tyrod Taylor-led New York Giants, and they did not look good at all.
Who, by the way, did you see that he is the first black quarterback to ever lead the Giants to a win in their over 100 years of franchise history?
Yeah, because they haven't had one, basically, which is pretty sad. And I don't know what they're doing over there. They're not a very good team in terms of the Giants, and Washington struggled big time. I think it was another stat that was kind of funny. Well, two stats, actually. Washington and Sam Howell have been sacked 40 times already.
Yep, we knew the offensive line was a problem.
And I'll get into that because they also have an injury on the interior of that offensive line, which may make them a guy less, which is where Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter and Fletcher Cox play. So there is that. But also, the Giants had 5 sacks going into the game.
And like no touchdowns.
Yeah, and they had 6 sacks. So they had more than their season total last Sunday. So that is one thing. And of course, last time the Eagles played, that was also another thing, was the offensive line. We talked about it. Eagles got a couple sacks late. So they had 4 sacks, I believe. But I think the Washington Commanders haven't been sacked less than 4 times in any game this season.
The Commanders are a bad football team. And we said that. And you know, it's funny. I talk a lot to one of the guys who's done shows with us, and I do shows with him, Rio, and he is a very passionate Commanders fan. He is fed up. You know, at the beginning of the year, it was Sam Howell's going to be this great quarterback. Now it's, nope, we still are looking. And I'm going to give the guy a little more than a year because I think that's fair, but I still do not believe that Sam Howell is the answer. I think that they are wasting guys like Brian Robinson and Jahan Dotson. And I mean, they've got players, Terry McLaurin, they've got players, and they've got a strong defense too. So what does it boil down to with me? I don't understand how, when they made an ownership change, they did not fire Ron Rivera.
Yeah.
Ron Rivera will be fired before the end of the season.
Yeah.
Before the end of the season.
I think you are correct. I think Eric Bieniemy is the one waiting in line to get.
And I'll tell you what, they're going to fire Ron Rivera probably after the – I'm going to say they'll give him 3 more losses and then they'll fire him. Bieniemy is an audition. I don't think it's guaranteed that he gets the job.
No, I'm not going to say it's going to be a guarantee, but he's going to be the one to step in and at least be able to
get something on tape and see if he can be a head coach.
Yeah. But, you know, looking at them, Sadiq Charles, their offensive guard, is hurt. I think he had a calf injury. That is something to keep an eye on because they're pretty, I wouldn't say they're thin offensive line. They're not very, very good. And you look at this Eagles defensive line coming in, they are firing all cylinders. Hassan Reddick is on a tear. Mm-hmm. He is back to his old self after coming back from the thumb injury, getting the cast off, everything along the lines of that. Jalen Carter just keeps getting better and better. Jordan Davis gets better and better. You know, Cox is still there. You have Sweat and Graham. You know, Nolan Smith seems to be playing a little bit. He had so it's going to be a fun matchup to see what they do. You know, it's all about causing pressure on Howell, make him make mistakes. You can cause some turnovers.
He's a young kid.
Yeah, he is a young kid. And you can't say that Washington doesn't have weapons because McLaurin and Dotson and Brian Robinson, they have some, you know, good players. But if you can get the pressure on Howell, make him make mistakes, you could try to put the game out of reach pretty early and basically let your pass rushers pin their ears back and go after the quarterback, which is kind of the recipe you want. But I think a lot of it has to do with when you look at Sean Desai, the first four games of the season, I believe he was like, I think it was 260 yards passing allowed per game. Ever since that, I think the next three games, he's only given up, defense has only given up 188 or 189 yards passing per game. And the Eagles are, I believe they're sixth in the NFL in total yards per game allowed. So the numbers aspect of what Sean Desai is doing with what he has, and now you give him a Kevin Byard and a healthy Reed Blankenship. Now, I think you're going to really see a lot to what he can do defensively and his mentality. And I love this, seeing him on the sidelines. Absolutely, you know, when they made a stop, he was there high-fiving everyone, really into it, energetic, fired up. And I think that's great, especially for the players too. But again, you're playing a division opponent in Washington. It's never an easy game. We know that. You know, one of our guys, Jeff, will be going down to the game with the Philly sports trips, the Washington trip down to Landover. So hopefully get a win for those guys because the Jets trip did not go as we would like, would have liked. So hopefully we see a same performance of sacks that we did last year. I think it was 11 or 10 or 11 on Carson Wentz. So hopefully we see Howell on the ground close to that many times. But listen, it's a divisional matchup. You can't always say it's going to be a blowout because you just never know. I know Washington's not as good, but they still have a really good defensive line. And the big thing about it is if you turn the ball over, you can keep a bad team in the game, which we've seen, unfortunately, with that Jets game. So
correct.
One thing they have to do is shore up the turnover margin, try to get some turnovers, have a positive turnover margin. That, to me, if you have a positive turnover margin, this game is going to wind up getting out of hand.
Yeah, and again, I think that it all comes back to, for the Eagles, we know what it looks like when they play to the level of their opponent. I think they need to just come out and go, this is our game plan, this is what we're going to do, and then do that thing.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think that is definitely something that they're going to have to do. Now, looking at this game, the other thing that came out after the game, I want to bring it up. It's been asked to Nick Sirianni. It's been asked to Jalen Hurts, is about his knee brace he put on. Uh-huh. I went back because I remembered watching the Thursday night game against week two against Minnesota and watching him do a play. I think it was in the first quarter with like 7 minutes, a little under 7 minutes left, going to his left, planted on his left leg and then went down. And it looked awkward. I thought, oh, man. But he got up, went walking, everything. A lot of people wanted to bring up the Rams game because the awkward when he got that first down on that run. But it was his right and his right ankle. This is on his left knee. So I don't know if he aggravated what he hurt there in one of the previous, either the Jets game or the Dolphins game. But he's not on the injury report, which is a good sign because then you don't see Marcus Mariota. To me, it's just something that may linger. But I'm not sure it's really going to affect him too much. It's a scary thing to think about because, you know, no matter what it is, look, Brock Purdy has a concussion. for not knowing how to actually do a quarterback sneak, and you're supposed to get low and not put your head up above the pile, so you get smacked. But
stupid.
Listen, no matter what quarterback you are, you can get injured. So that's, of course, that's always in the back of everybody's mind. And also what we saw last year with the Chicago game where he gets planted on his shoulder and he gets hurt and misses two games. So it is a cause for concern, but if he says he's good, I'm going to take his word for it. And you know, the guy's tough as nails. So I just hope that it's not something that's going to linger or something that's going to get worse.
Yeah. I mean, Jalen Hurts if possible, he's going to play every single game unless we've already clinched and then he gets an opportunity to rest. I do think it changes it and makes him a little more of a pocket passer, which means the offensive line has to do their job. I think they're going to run him a little less, like you saw in the second half of the Dolphins game. I also think that means you're going to utilize our run game a little bit more, which again, all these things are not a bad thing. You don't want to be predictable. And I think that, believe it or not, this actually is going to help us not be predictable.
No, and that's a good thing. And you know, when you talk about predictable predictions, everything in there, it leads into.
It's time for the Recolox of the week. Who's your lock?
All righty. So getting into the Recolox. Chip?
How wrong was I this week?
You were a winner. Gardner Minshew, 250 and two touchdowns. He had 309 yards and two touchdowns. So you got that win. You are 2-5 and you left a lot.
Love it.
Yeah, I did not fare. I had Hassan Reddick, 1.5 sacks. That did not happen. So I am 3-4. I will go first here. My Uleka lock is I am going to go with a Julio Jones touchdown.
Ooh.
I think in the red zone, I think, gets a nice touchdown catch and everybody rejoices.
All right. My Uleka lock is that a team that plays their home games in MetLife Stadium will win on Sunday.
No, you can't have that one. Sorry, you can't get an easy win.
It's a lock. Actually. It's a lock.
Yeah.
Unless
they tie.
Yeah.
Never know.
No, I'm not taking it. I have Cooper Kupp against this Cowboys secondary. 150 receiving yards and a touchdown.
Wow, not Puka Nacua, who just had 100 yards and a touchdown.
150 yards and a touchdown.
150 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, I think that they're going to – I'm not necessarily saying they're going to get the win, but they've had a lot of issues with their running game, and the Rams have some of the really quality receivers in football, and if they're going to attack the Cowboys, it's got to be through the air.
Yeah.
Away from Micah Parsons.
It's a good one. So this also brings us now to the prediction time. Our prediction for the Eagles Week 8 matchup against the Washington Commanders at FedEx Field. I will go first on this. I think the Eagles come out and they show no mercy. I think the defense gets all over Sam Howell. It's a different defense than what you saw a couple weeks ago in Philly. I believe Bradbury didn't play that game. Somebody was out that game, so because I remember Job was in. I know they had a few injuries. They're going to be healthy. Byard there. You're going to have Blankenship and Brown and Bradbury Slay. This defensive line, you're going to get after Sam Howell. And I think the Eagles win 31-16. They go to 7-1 with a matchup with the Dallas Cowboys at Lincoln Financial Field looming. Huge matchup, divisional matchup.
But I think
31-16.
I'm very similar. I think that the Eagles have all the firepower now. The injury list is starting to get shorter. The Eagles are clearly the better team. The Commanders are still licking their wounds after somehow losing to the Giants, which is just funny. I have them winning 38-20.
38-20. Nice. And hey, it'd be nice to get this win going into Dallas. Uh-huh. And then, of course, your bye week is after that to kind of rest up a little bit. But no, it's going to be fun, and hopefully we get the win. And it was fun. And again, like I said, our buddy Jeff is going to be at the game running the Philly sports trip down to Washington. They sold out. So, you know, another awesome fun trip down there. A lot of Eagles fans going to invade MetLife, not MetLife, Landover, basically the same dump. It's just different locations. Adam's got 35-14 Eagles, and he has Eagles getting 7 sacks.
Wow. I'm here for it.
I am here for it too. Now that would be absolutely tremendous to be able to get that. But listen, next time we talk,
it'll be November.
Would have passed the day prior. So there may be some moves. We will talk about moves around the NFL. We'll talk about the Eagles because it is going to be Dallas week that week. So it's going to be a fun time because anytime they play Dallas, it's going to be huge. But should be
interesting. I'm just excited for one more 1 o'clock game.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it is a 1 o'clock matchup. So Eagles don't have many of those. They'll have one more left. The Arizona Cardinals at the end of the year. So a lot of 4 o'clock games, Monday night games, some Sunday night games. So that's just what happens when you're a good team.
Rest up.
But with that, thank everyone watching, tuning in. We always end it with two wonderful words.
Go Birds.
This is Matt Ware. Hey, for all the Eagle content you need, go follow All About the Birds. They do a damn thing. Check them out.
Hey, Eagles fans. I may be in Tampa, but I know where to find the best Eagles content out there. Check out my friends at All About the Birds.
Philadelphia, what's up? This is your boy Freddie Mitchell, a.k.a. Fred X. It's All About the Birds.
All birds all the time. All birds all the time.
All About the Birds provides you with weekly analysis, game recaps, informative interviews, and it's all birds all the time.